Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Global Health Medanta Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Cyndrella Carvalho from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Neerav. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Cyndrella Carvalho. On behalf of JM Financial, welcome you all on the Quarter 1 FY24 earnings con call of Global Health Limited, Medanta. At the outset, I thank the management of Global Health Limited for giving us this opportunity to host the call and looking forward to have an insightful interaction on a strong earnings performance. Today, from the management team, we have with us Dr. Naresh Trehan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Pankaj Sahni, Group CEO and Director, Mr. Sanjiv Kumar, Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ravi Gothan, Head Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to the management for their opening remark.
Okay. So good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to Medanta's Q1 FY24 earnings call. As you are aware, the results were published yesterday, and there has been a very strong operational and financial performance during the quarter. The details of which, of course, Mr. Pankaj Sahni, our Group CEO, will give you later. But in the meantime, I will walk you through some of the things. And as you will notice, that our performance of the Q1 2024 is on the back of delivering the highest quality of medical care and highest ethics, and Medanta continues to replicate this model as we go across other parts of the geography. So in the network hospitals, as you know, that we have five already, and the sixth one, that is Noida, is on its way, and hopefully in the next 18 months or so, we will be functional there too. So let me also inform you, you must have already, most of you, known the fact that we announced this partnership between Medanta and ALF in developing a hospital in GK1 in Delhi. For a long period, there has been a huge demand because being aware of Medanta's ethical and quality practices, people in Delhi have been actually requesting, demanding that we develop an institution over there also. So we actually welcome this partnership, that is Medanta DLF, to start work on this hospital, which will be a 400+ bed hospital situated over 2 acres in GK1. It will have about 20 or more super specialties and also a great emphasis on oncology, that is cancer. It will, of course, benefit a large number of patients from Delhi, not only Delhi, but across Uttar Pradesh, Haryana, Rajasthan, and other neighboring states. Also, we have a very strong demand for our services from international traffic, and we shall also be able to fulfill that between our existing facilities, which is in Gurgaon, and the new one that is coming up in Noida, and also addition of Delhi will make it a seamless operation across the NCR. This is actually very much in line with our strategy to build a long-term sustainable platform and deliver, or I would say continue to deliver, the highest quality of healthcare in this region, not only this region, but the heartland of India. I would like to hand over the call to our Group CEO, Mr. Pankaj Sahni, to provide an update on the quarter results, performance, and new initiatives. Thank you, and over to you, Pankaj.
Thank you, Dr. Trehan. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone, to our Q1 FY24 earnings call. We've concluded our first quarter of FY24 on a strong note, with the highest ever quarterly revenue of rupees 7945 million, registering a growth of 26.8% year-on-year. The company continues to deliver strong year-on-year and sequential growth driven by higher patient volumes and improvements in realization. We are grateful for the continued trust of our patients placed in us across our network. Needless to say, none of this would have been possible without the tireless commitment of our doctors, nurses, and other caregivers. Now, coming to some of the highlights for the quarter. Both the matured and developing hospitals continue to deliver year-on-year and sequential growth. We have delivered consolidated total income of rupees 7,945 million, which is a growth of 26.8% year-on-year and 8.6% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, driven by higher patient footfalls and improved realizations in this quarter. EBITDA for the quarter was at rupees 1,993 million, registering a growth of 40.7% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins improving from 22.6% in the first quarter of FY23 to 25.1% in the first quarter of FY24. Our profit after tax was at rupees 1,020 million, a growth of 73.7% year-on-year. During the quarter, we've added 28 new beds in Patna, taking our total bed capacity at the group level to 2,725. These additional 28 beds are dedicated ICU, which we have built at our Patna hospital. In terms of our operational performance, average occupied bed days for the quarter increased by 16.2% year-on-year, representing an occupancy of 58.1% on increased bed capacity. ARPOB grew by 7.1% to ₹63,148 in Q1 FY24, driven in part by increased tariffs at our Gurgaon unit, as well as the increased complexity of work in Lucknow and the scale-up of our facility at Patna. We continue to witness strong patient volumes across all facilities. Inpatient count increased by 19.4% year-on-year to 37,000+. Our outpatient count increased by 17.5% year-on-year to over 6.6 lakhs in the first quarter of FY24. In terms of developing hospitals, that is Lucknow and Patna, the total income increased from ₹1,468 million to ₹2,297 million, a growth of 56.5% year-on-year. EBITDA for the developing hospitals increased from ₹331 million in Q1 of FY23 to ₹720 million in Q1 of FY24, representing a growth of 117.6% year-on-year. Our developing hospital revenue share also increased from 23.4% in Q1 of FY23 to 28.9% in Q1 of FY24. While our developing hospital EBITDA share increased from 22.6% in Q1 FY23 to 31.4% in Q1 of FY24. During the quarter, international patients' revenue also increased by 45% to ₹477 million, driven by increased volumes and realizations. Our in-house outpatient pharmacy business revenue increased by 43% from ₹186 million in Q1 of FY23 to ₹266 million in Q1 of FY24. Additionally, a few developments during the quarter. First of all, Medanta Lucknow launched its tele-ICU services with tie-ups across ICUs and nursing homes and hospitals in Jodhpur, Maharajganj and Prayagraj cities. We also launched our comprehensive oncology program. This is with the launch in Lucknow of an installation and launch of our new Siemens Varian Edge radiosurgery machine for radiation oncology that was inaugurated by the Honorable Chief Minister of UP. We also launched our first multi-service out-of-hospital retail pharmacy in DLF Cyber Park Gurgaon, which offers doctor consultations with Medanta experts, medicine deliveries, as well as lab services to corporate employees. In addition to the finance and operating numbers, as Dr. Trehan outlined earlier, we have entered into an understanding with DLF to form a company to launch a 400-bed multi-super specialty hospital to provide the highest quality of healthcare in the heart of Delhi in Greater Kailash 1. Both Medanta and DLF will own 50-50 equity in the new company. DLF will be the strategic investor and Medanta will run the hospital and have operational control. This new facility will strengthen Medanta's presence in the National Capital Region of Delhi. Medanta already operates Gurgaon facility there, as well as our upcoming Noida facility, and we believe that the Gurgaon, Noida and Delhi facilities collectively will integrate in a seamless manner to be able to link our 1,391-bed flagship hospital in Gurgaon, our 550-bed hospital in Noida, and the new 400-bed hospital in Delhi to deliver the same high-quality, seamless care across the entire NCR region. With that, we are happy to take questions from the participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. First question is from the line of Bino from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a couple of quick questions. Regarding this DLF joint venture, what's the timeline for the beds to come up?
So we anticipate that, the like with any other hospital, it will probably take us somewhere in the 3 to 4 year time frame. Obviously, we need to get all the various approvals initially, and then typically it takes about 3 years to construct. So 3 to 4 years is what we anticipate.
Is there a land already in the JV? Land on and building?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question? It wasn't very clear. Is there land where?
Is the land already identified and acquired by the JV?
Okay, so the land has already been identified. The JV is not necessarily going to be acquiring the land. It will most probably be a leasing or a rental construct. But yes, the land has been identified. As Dr. Tehan had mentioned earlier, it's about 2 acres of land.
Okay, got it. Second question, in your P&L there is an item called loss on impairment of financial assets. So what does that refer to?
Let me just hand over to Sanjeev to take that.
Yeah, so actually normally impairment is actually more about the provision for doubtful debts, which has increased in this quarter as the total debtors have really increased by almost 50 crores. And largely out of that, almost 30 crores is on account of the state government dues, and almost 12 crores is on account of TPA. So some of the collections which are from the government side have been slower, and we have provided for provision for doubtful debts, which has increased in this quarter. That's what
we're doing with this. Understood. I'm sorry, just one follow-up question on the DLF deal. So the investment into building the structure and the hospital, would that be borne half-half by DLF and Medanta?
Yes, that is right.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Bansi Desai from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just on this expansion which is announced, sir, if you look at the Delhi NCR landscape, optically, you know, Delhi seems to have slightly lower bed density. But when we hear about, you know, peers and large private players, your competition, all of them seem to have aggressive plans of expansion into this market. So looking at that, you know, how do you, you know, what prompted you to basically, you know, look at this market and how confident you are of, you know, this capacity getting absorbed as you ramp up this facility?
Okay, let me take that in a couple of ways. First of all, to mention or to reiterate rather what Dr. Tehan had mentioned, given that we already operate a large 1,300 plus bed facility in Gurgaon, which is very close to the South Delhi area, we already had a very strong brand presence, brand equity in the region. In fact, we run a clinic in not too far from this location in South Delhi. There has been for many years a demand for us to open out facilities there. This demand comes from a variety of reasons. First of all, people want to be able to access the kind of high quality and high integrity care that we have come to be known for, whether it is for emergency care, whether it is for more daycare types of procedures, for example, chemotherapy, radiation oncology, where people feel that it may be more convenient to get that care delivered a little closer to where they are in that community. The demand has actually been there for some time. We also have a number of clinicians who have practiced in that area for many, many years before they joined us. We do have a good sense of confidence in the demand that we will receive from this region. The second point is that when you look at our plans in the NCR region, we already plan to open up a Noida facility, which will be 550 beds in Sector 50 in Noida. If you literally look at the line drawn from the Gurgaon facility to the Noida facility, in fact, if you actually just drive that road, you will find that this new site comes almost bang in the middle of that road, really connecting the two sites. It allows us to create a strong network effect across the three sites. Given our full-time and a kind of model of care that we deliver, we do believe that we will be able to develop significant synergies, both in terms of clinical as well as operational, across these three facilities across the NCR region. That is how we thought that this was a good opportunity. We have, of course, been engaging with DLF for some time on this. We have strong relationships with them as well. This is not something which is new and just suddenly coming out of the blue. The other thing is that Medanta has always tried to focusing on making sure that we put our head down and deliver the care that we're known for and deliver the kind of operational excellence that we stand for, and not overly worry too much about what is happening on the left and the right. I think that if we do that, we have seen across our units that the patient community responds in a positive manner, and our intent is to continue to adopt this approach.
Okay, this is helpful. And my second question is on if you can throw some color on how our Patna unit has done. We know it has broken even last year, but how has been the performance in this quarter?
Sure. Let me give you a little bit of context just before I jump into that, right? One is that we've maintained consistently, I beg your pardon, for the last couple of quarters and earnings calls, that Patna is still very much in a ramp-up phase. While we have been able to deliver EBITDA breakeven in the last financial year and continue to show very strong financial performance in this quarter, I just also want to highlight that we continue to add in clinicians. We are continuing to build out that area. In fact, medical equipment is in the process of getting commissioned. New bed capacity is in the process of getting added. It is still not really in a stable state, so to speak. I want you to be sure that whenever you look at the financial performance of Patna, you keep this in the back of your mind. That being said, our performance in Patna has been fairly strong. We have increased our revenue performance approximately about 20% when you look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, which is Q4 2023 to Q1 2024. We also see significant improvement in EBITDA levels. But as you may be aware, we don't report out the financial numbers for each unit on a quarterly basis, although you will see the full year financials for Patna when in our full year FY23 performance once the annual report is published.
Okay, noted. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Cinderella. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Sir, just want to understand what is working for our Lucknow facility in specific. If you can highlight what are the key, therapy-wise also, what are we seeing the key driving forces here in Lucknow? And what has worked in our favor typically, if you can highlight these two aspects, will be very helpful.
Let me make an attempt to give you three or four levers. I don't know which one specifically contributes how much, but I think they all can work collectively to be able to deliver the performance of our Lucknow unit. So first of all, as you may be aware, in some of our earlier calls, we had also mentioned that, this unit got off to a start right in the middle of COVID. And I think at that point in time, we were able to demonstrate to the community in Lucknow and to the community in UP that we were standing firm to be able to deliver this kind of high quality care in a very challenging environment right in the middle of the COVID pandemic. We started this facility literally a few months before the lockdown was announced, and right through COVID, we were able to stand firm with the community, not only in terms of delivering care to COVID patients, but also to deliver the much needed care to patients in other diseases, because, COVID doesn't stop cancer from increasing, COVID doesn't stop heart disease from happening. So we were able to bring that, balance in and that care to the community. The second aspect is we were fortunate to be able to get very highly accomplished, highly skilled clinicians and care providers in Lucknow from across the Lucknow and UP region, but also people coming in from other areas. We had doctors moving there from Delhi. We had doctors moving there from other parts of the country. And so we were able to assemble a very, very highly capable, highly accomplished team. And that is evident if you study over the last several months the kind of quality or complexity of work that they have been doing, whether it is neurosurgery, whether it is cardiac surgery, whether it is complex, minimally invasive cardiac interventions. We've also got a exceptionally talented cancer team there that is not only in the medical oncology or the radiation oncology field, but also surgical oncologists who super specialize in a particular disease or a particular organ for treatment. So we've been able to build out that team. In fact, in the last quarter, we have also, as I mentioned earlier, inaugurated our radiation oncology services with the new Siemens Varian Edge machine, which is only the second installation in the entire country and the first installation of this new model for this highly sensitive and highly precision radiation oncology machine. So with that, we now have the complete suite of cancer services. So we expect that the cancer work should also grow as we build that out over that area. So I think really it's been a combination of these three, four factors. And then lastly, what I would say is that we've been able to do this because we maintain the same standards in our Lucknow or even in our other units as we have in our Gurgaon unit. The same standards, the same ethical practices. Structurally, we have the same models in terms of full-time doctor employment, in terms of the way in which we think about quality, think about standards. And so that has translated into a very positive response from the patient community. And let's not also forget that, and this is of course one of the reasons for choosing Lucknow and UP to start with, let's not forget we are dealing with a state with a population of over 22 crores. So there is absolutely nothing, at least in the private space for sure, of this caliber and this scale in the entire state. And so therefore we have become the destination of choice for complex healthcare.
Thanks for that, Pankaj. And any color on the, you see the scope for enhancing further capacity in Lucknow from what we have already announced? Do you see the need for that?
So as you may be aware, in our investor presentation, we highlight that we are currently about 600 beds in our Lucknow facility. That facility itself is expected to scale up to about 950 beds on the current infrastructure. In fact, this build-out of that is already underway with respect to further fitting out some of the additional wards and beds for in the existing facility. Our first target will be to complete out the 950 beds before we actually consider a second facility in Lucknow. Although given UP is such a big state, I do absolutely feel that there, you know, there is a need for a lot more healthcare in that area, and especially a lot more healthcare of a higher standard and a higher quality.
This is my last one, and I'll fall back in the queue. Can you help us understand the Gurgaon outperformance this quarter? What worked for us in Gurgaon specifically?
So in Gurgaon, again, as we had mentioned in our full year report, you know, we had been focusing on what we call strengthening of the core and really building out additional capabilities in terms of bringing in some additional clinicians. We've added things like a new surgical robot for robotic surgery, brought in a new super specialist in terms of oncology, cardiology, respiratory and internal medicine, some leading clinicians, well-respected, well-known clinicians from the community have been brought in. So we kind of continue to double down our efforts on bringing in this talent and building out. We've also added in a new service, which is our women and child service, which we didn't have in Gurgaon. That has come in and that is starting to perform well now. We've completed a number of deliveries, so that's a happy occasion for our hospital. But I think overall, we've also been looking at how we can further focus in on optimization across the facility. We are also currently looking at building out a new chemo daycare unit in the building, so renovation for that is underway. In fact, about 50 or more of the census beds are actually under renovation, so they're closed for the moment. We're rebuilding out there. So really just, you know, doing, I think, what we've always said that we stand for, which is trying to continue to bring in high quality talent and allow them to practice the highest end of medicine. And we continue to focus in on that. We have done some small things with respect to trying to get access and outreach to the community in general. That's through our clinics, through some of our home care and our lab businesses, so try to increase the continuity of care to the extent possible. And those activities have been appreciated by our patients and our communities, especially near to the Gurgaon facility. And we do intend to continue to do that.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I wanted to probe a bit more on the Delhi 400-bed hospital. If I look at this way, from this hospital in GK1 and your existing Gurgaon facility, the airport will not be very far off. I mean, I think more or less it would be equidistant. Even for the Delhi market, if you're setting up a hospital in Noida, I think Eastern Delhi could well be served by that facility. Your Southwest and West Delhi can be serviced by your Gurgaon facility. And you have land bank available in Gurgaon and you are just setting up Noida. So I'm not sure, I mean, how to look at this. That to in a setup where you are sharing economics with a JV partner. So can I just throw some more light on what's the need of this hospital in such an affluent neighborhood in Delhi, where some of your existing networks in Noida and Gurgaon could also have well taken care of, whether international or upcountry, or even for that matter, the local Delhi footfalls as well?
Sure. So three or four points that we have found as the advantageous reasons for getting into Delhi. One, I will not go deep into the population and the current underserved area of Delhi, especially given the huge growth that is happening there. So, you know, when you look at all the bed density ratios, etc., despite what people talk about in Delhi, they're still pretty low for covering that population. So there's still a huge demand-supply gap in Delhi. The second thing is that if you look at this facility, it's about over 30 kilometers or so from our Gurgaon facility, approximately 25 to 30 kilometers from our Noida facility. So it's almost bang equidistant between the two. And as you rightly said, when you look at the servicing of the catchment area, although we do get in Gurgaon many patients from outside NCR, when you look at the servicing of the catchment area and just in terms of a travel and a commute point of view, you will find that Gurgaon does cater a little bit more to the southwest Delhi market. And Noida will cater a lot more to the eastern Delhi and then, of course, parts of UP market as well. So that South Delhi, Central Delhi area does at times find it challenging, especially given, you know, the traffic conditions in the city, to get access to the hospital on a very regular basis. Now, this becomes important given what we see as the changing trend in healthcare. So if you look over the years, of course, barring COVID, you will see that the average length of stay continues to reduce in our Medanta facilities. And part of that reason is because more and more work is moving into a daycare nature. So whether I said before, whether it is chemotherapy daycare, whether it is radiation oncology, patients from Delhi do find it at times inconvenient to travel an hour, hour and a half in the car to get to their care. And so they have actually been demanding, and we see that in our Delhi clinic, they have been demanding access to, you know, this kind of standard of care closer to where they live. The other important point, of course, is emergency care. So again, there's been a lot of demand for us to open up, especially cardiac emergencies, stroke, etc., in and around Delhi. And I think the feeling is obviously that there is a pull for the brand, there is a pull for the quality of medicine and the ethics of medicine that we practice. And so these are some of the reasons that we feel that this makes sense to us. In fact, one may argue that Delhi just being so big and continuing to grow, there are opportunities even beyond South Delhi and other, in other micro geographies of Delhi. So I think it's important to understand Delhi and this region operates very much in a micro market kind of way. And we believe that this will be a very big boom. The other thing is that, you know, when you look at the complexity and the nature of care that we deliver, many of our patients come in with highly complex issues, many times multi-organ issues. So there is a opportunity to service these patients from a continuity of care point of view across units in a seamless manner. So just to give an example, you may have a patient who comes in with a GI surgical issue, but lives in Delhi, and they come in for a elective procedure, but they actually already have a cardiac issue or they already have some other comorbidity which requires more continuous monitoring. They now feel that they can get that kind of seamless care of the standard that Medanta is famous for, closer to their home and across across the network. So this is what we found, and this is the demand really from our patient population. So we believe it will be highly profitable, highly successful, and most importantly, much needed for the patient community.
Right. Sir, if I may just harp a bit more on this. What you are saying makes a very strong business case, and I think that's what it is looking like today. But if I fast forward 3-4 years, in just not just 5-6 kilometers away, you have such massive expansion happening in Saket by one of your large competitors, with you also adding 400 beds. Do you think the things would look the same 3-4 years out? I mean, today it might be sounding a very good business case, but with so much of beds coming on stream in a radius of 5-7 kilometers. That will still hold true 3-4 years down the line as well?
You know, 2-3 points. First, you know, we've tried to focus our efforts always on making sure that we do the right thing and we operate at the right standard, rather than worry too much about what the others may or may not be doing, and that has served us well so far. But I'm also reminded, you know, of our journey, which I think now is about 2 years ago, when we started our entire IPO roadshow process. And at that point in time, there was a lot of questions from people around all the capacity which is supposed to come up in Gurgaon, in our backyard. I mean, I'm yet to see any of this capacity. And even when it has come, and even if you look at Medanta's history from the time we started in 2009 till today, I mean, hospitals have opened and closed and we're still standing tall. So this doesn't worry us too much. And like I said, there is a dire shortage of high-quality healthcare facilities. But finally, at the end of the day, we believe that if we continue to focus on doing the right things, which is practicing the highest quality of medicine, you know, everything else in terms of the financial success will follow from that. So the model has worked for us. It's worked for us in Gurgaon. It's worked for us in Lucknow. We also had many people. I was briefly mentioning this when I was in Lucknow at the launch. We also had many people, you know, in Lucknow wondering, what are you doing in Tier 2, Tier 3 cities? But, you know, we have proven that to be successful in the same story in Patna. So I think that we feel fairly confident on our capabilities, and we feel that this also will be a strong and successful operation.
Got it. And just final bookkeeping question. So this will be consolidated line by line item and you will adjust it in the JV line item, or there will be proportionate consolidation, or you'll be paying a yield to DLF on this? How will the accounting work?
No, so I'll let Sanjeev take that. My understanding from the accounting rules is that since we are completely in operational control, we will be consolidating this operation in our holding company, Global Health Limited.
Yeah, so at present, all the definitive agreements have to really take place. So as Pankaj said, our understanding is that in terms of the NDAs, basically based on our control, and as we have said, that the entire control, operation control will be actually with us. We are very hopeful that that we will be able to consolidate it on line-on-line basis.
Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to know regarding the margin of the Gurgaon facility. Could you provide, sir, like overall trend, what has been the like over margin for this particular facility?
So as you are aware, Sanjeev, as you are aware that we actually don't report our margins for each unit. And as far as Gurgaon is concerned, this is part of the standalone GHL, which is actually Global Health Limited. And which actually has the other two units as well, which is Indore and Ranchi. And actually, if you look at for this particular quarter, the EBITDA margins are at 24.7%.
So the Gurgaon facility would be having more margin than that.
In case of GHL, a large portion is contributed by Gurgaon.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you provide us an outlook on the margins of the developing facility on the next, like over the next 1 or 2 years?
So I would say that both the units are doing pretty well, and they are having very healthy margins. And there is no reason that at this point of time where we actually think the margins will get impacted, except to the fact that that we need to keep in mind a few things. Like in case of Lucknow, at present, the entire margins that actually we are having is on cash basis. And once we actually move the business, once we increase the capacity from 600 back to almost 950 back over a period of time, we do expect that in order to really fill the beds and the entire capacity, probably we would be moving away from only cash and TPA to other payer categories as well. And certainly that will have some impact in terms of the margin, in terms of ARPOBs and all, and certainly consequently the margin as well. Secondly, we also need to keep in mind that in case of Patna, at present, again, business is largely from cash and TPA. And in case of Patna, since this is a PPP project, 25% of the capacity is actually reserved for state government rates, which are more or less on the lines of CGHS rates. And at present, we have not seen any significant patient inflow from that side. And something that we expect that probably in the next year, 2 or 3 quarters, this should really pick up in a more meaningful manner. So once that happens, that's also likely to have an impact on our overall ARPOB profile. So I think on cash basis, we actually there's nothing that actually we'll be doing. We expect to do at this point of time. Which will have an impact on ARPOB, but certainly taking into account both these aspects which I already spoke about in case of Patna as well as Lucknow, that will have some impact in terms of the ARPOBs. Secondly, in terms of the expenses also, as our Lucknow facility now starts getting old, in terms of matures, some of the expenses in terms of your AMC, CMC, etc., will start coming in, because at present most of the equipment, etc., would be under, there's no AMC, CMC cost which are actually coming. There are no repair. They are under AMCs. Necessarily, that will also start having some impacts. And actually, some of the things which we must keep in mind, that both these units, those are getting matured. Some of these expenses will actually go up, but the fixed costs which are there in terms of manpower, in terms of the other expenses, facility expenses, etc., we would be able to apportion it over a large capacity of actually patients. That should help us in margin improvement. So I think based on all these parameters, plus and minuses, we expect that our developing hospitals will have a healthy margin.
Okay, sir. And so regarding CGHS Cement, so was there any price revision undertaken by the government, or was there any contract change?
Can you just repeat the question? I'm sorry, I missed the first part.
So regarding the CGHS patient contracts, so was there any price revision which was undertaken?
Yeah, so CGHS announced a price increase a couple of months ago. So that price increase has of course translated into whatever is the standardized rates for CGHS. Those are applicable typically across the country, as well as some of the public sector undertakings which use those rates. So that of course has led to beneficial revenue or tariff upliftment for the hospitals and for the industry in general. But I just want to point out, if you see in our investor presentation as well, we have a significantly lower share of CGHS and esteem business. About 85% of our business continues to be consistently quarter over quarter cash and PPA. So while it has benefited us, keep in mind that it's only for about, I think, about 10-12% of the overall.
Okay, sir. So one more regarding the industry point of view, just wanted to understand about it. The majority of the hospital chains are focusing on Delhi NCR market. So like, why not they are focusing majorly on the like west area, like western India, like Rajasthan or Gujarat. So just wanted to understand on that. Why is Delhi NCR the core focus area for majority of the hospitals? From industry point of view,
if you look at the industry, I'm not exactly sure whether your hypothesis is correct. I would assume actually that South India has a far higher percentage of private hospitals than North India. It is possible that some of the groups which you may be referencing may be the ones which are listed and therefore are more in the public domain in terms of communication. But if I look at the industry as a whole, I think that South India has a far higher density of hospital beds and also of private hospital beds. Of course, these vary from established unlisted chains to listed chains to maybe smaller hospitals which maybe have, just a few hospitals which are operating under their belt. In many cases, those would be unlisted. So I don't necessarily think that it's only the north, the city of Delhi, which is having demand for hospitals. You see a lot of that growing, Hyderabad, the south, Bangalore, Chennai, a lot of these metro cities, but also some of the tier 2 cities having good build-outs. As far as the west goes, you do see movement there as well. Obviously, one of the big constraints in hospitals, especially bigger hospitals in terms of size, is land. So land is, of course, less easily available in a city like Bombay, maybe, than a city like Delhi. And obviously, the more you move out to, tier 2 and tier 3 cities, I'm assuming that the land availability would be easier. So maybe that's why you're seeing the growth there. But yes, Delhi has always been an attractive market. It has also always been a market which is, talked a lot about. And I think the combination of being high population, slightly maybe better structure in terms of its layout for scale out and build out, because Delhi has expanded in almost concentric circles beyond what it was, which is maybe a little challenging for Bombay to do. So you've seen Delhi grow as a city, population grow, and therefore the demand for healthcare grow. So I think these are some of the factors, but I do also see growth happening in many, many other cities in the country.
Thank you, Sumit. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. Next question is from Ryan of Hiresh from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Hiresh. So on this 400 bed in Delhi, just to understand, so DLF is bringing the land. Sorry, I missed the opening commentary, so you might have covered it there.
Or is it what, sorry?
So in that partnership with DLF for 400 beds in South Delhi, so DLF is bringing the land to the SPV, or what is, they are bringing capital and then you will buy the land?
Yeah, no, so as I think I mentioned in a question which came earlier, so we are forming a company with DLF, so it will be a new company that is established. DLF will provide equal equity participation as will Global Health Limited, and Global Health will run this company and run the operations and have control over this company. And I think somebody had asked whether that would be consolidated, and our belief is yes, it will be with GHL. So we will have complete control to run it. This entity will likely lease land for the hospital operations. I don't think that we will be buying this land. So it will be in then entering into some kind of a operating lease or rental kind of an arrangement to run the hospital. So obviously right now the definitive agreements have to be finalized, the company will be incorporated, etc. And only once the company is incorporated will the lease actually be executed by this company.
Okay, so land will be on lease and building will be constructed. And what is the capex out here for this?
So, you know, we haven't finalized the business plan, obviously, because that will be approved by this company's board as well. But if I just go by, you know, what we're seeing in our Noida facility, which is currently under construction, I think today, given the escalation in construction costs, you're talking about fully loaded somewhere around 1.4 to 1.5 crores per bed, which we're seeing in Noida. So if you do that math on the 400-bed hospital, you know, you're probably talking somewhere in the, you know, 600 to 700 crore range in terms of this facility. Obviously, in Delhi, you may have slightly higher construction costs, and as, you know, we move from today to, you know, a couple of years down the line when the construction will really be in full swing, there may be some escalation in construction costs, etc. Although a lot of it depends, because we did see this in Noida, you know, the steel cement prices really badly escalated during the immediate post-COVID times, and then they've rationalized a little bit. So, but that's what we're assuming, it will be somewhere around that number.
This was earlier asked also, I think, why are we sharing 50% with them? They're just bringing the capital. So we are not constrained by capital, right? So 300 crores, we could have done it ourselves, right? Their portion of the capital. Because you are going to be running it, you are going to value creation. I just feel that, you know, we should have got 100% unless they are helping with the land or something.
So maybe next time we'll have you in the negotiations with us. You know, as you are obviously aware, in any partnership, there are a number of factors that go into how things get concluded the way that they do. I would only say that our belief, given DLF, given its reputation and given its strength, that we believe that, you know, this is an exceptionally strong partner to have. Not only for us in this particular operation, but well into the future. Both the companies feel that we have a similar thought process in terms of how we want to take this relationship forward. And we believe that there are, you know, a huge number of opportunities in the healthcare space. So, for us, we see a strong ethical and values-based partner in DLF, and I hope that they see the same. And, you know, that is why we believe that this partnership is not something that we are looking at as a single transaction, but as a longer-term successful partnership for many, many years to come.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. A request to all the participants. Please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Alankar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So first question, how many beds are we planning to add in Lucknow in this fiscal?
I think if you look at our investor presentation, and I think we had mentioned it in the year-end one also, it will be about 150 beds. We've actually already triggered the construction for almost 4 or 5 floors because of the way in which the building is. So just the interior fit-out is done. And then depending on as the demand scales up, currently we are planning out 3 floors, which is, I believe, just short of 150 beds. And then it little bit depends on how quickly the demand scales and what is the minimum optimal number of beds to construct one at a time.
So in that case, Pankaj, you had earlier mentioned that once you cross 700 beds in Lucknow, broadly that's when we will start having some scheme patients. So would it be fair to assume that by the end of the fiscal, somewhere around maybe first quarter of FY25 is when our scheme mix, the institutional patients will start coming in Lucknow?
So a little early to conclude on that. I think that, as a responsible healthcare provider, we do feel that we have an obligation to service the broader community. I think right now what we see is a very, very positive response from the community. We are treating patients from across the socioeconomic strata. We are very fortunate to be able to get a good amount of support in terms of the numerous schemes that are available, not only at the state government level, whether you talk about things like the CM Relief Fund, but also other state patients who come in. So there are opportunities for us to serve across the spectrum. I think that we will take this on a, almost like on a contract by contract basis. So there are certain number of PSUs that may be operating a certain way. There may be certain number of patients that we bring in at slightly different tariffs, which may not necessarily be scheme tariffs, but maybe, a little bit somewhere in the middle, or there's some combinations of those. So there are many opportunities for us to look at this. So I don't think it's definitive that I cross a certain bed number and then I, turn or switch on and off. I think this is an evolution as things change, as we are able to serve. And, we also are cognizant of the fact that we should be affordable. So one of the things that we have not yet done is taken a tariff increase in Lucknow at all, really, since we started the hospital. And at present, at least, we haven't really made any plans to do that. So I think when you look at the overall payer mix and you look at the overall tariff and revenue structure, it's a far more nuanced approach and one that we evaluate almost on a quarterly or monthly basis. But I don't think that there is a goal in mind to say once this happens then we'll do that. What I did articulate earlier was that when we reach this number of 700, 750, you kind of are able to then fully utilize the baseline infrastructure. And thereafter, the build-out typically is dependent on what services are more in demand. So I think I had mentioned it in the last call that sometimes you may over-index in cardiac or sometimes you may over-index in cancer. In the case of Lucknow, certain specialties which we didn't anticipate having a very high demand have started demanding more beds. So these are all the ways in which we kind of decide how to build out. So that is really where we go. So we have a certain set of specialties and infrastructure in mind till about 750 beds, and thereafter I think it is linked a little bit to how the demand plays out.
Fair enough, that's clear. My second question is, at present, how many beds are being reserved for the EWS patients in Gurgaon?
So, our lease requires us to keep about 5% of the beds available for EWS patients. That being said, we have never stopped any of the patients from coming in. So the various government authorities that send across patients to us are all accommodated. And we have also never yet received, that many number of patients either. So as and when they are sent across, we are treating them fully. And in fact, if you walk around the hospital, you would not be able to tell which patient in which ward is EWS, because you don't have any dedicated ward. They all get treated in exactly the same way as any other patient.
Thank you. And maybe one final question, if I may. Just wanted to understand the reasons behind this delay in the PPP inflow in Patna. I assume that it's already started, but you said that it would kind of ramp up over the next few quarters. So how quickly should we expect the intake to be? What's causing the delay? Any inputs there would be really helpful. Thank you.
So some of the reasons for this delay, I think, are just, you know, kind of operational and tactical challenges that the authorities may have had. So one of the things that I'm aware of they had requested us to do was assist them with building out the digital website and portal which will be used for referring patients. So we have actually completed that last quarter and handed that over to the government. So you know, they had some operational challenges and they sought our help to build that out on their behalf, which we have done. We have handed over access passwords, etc., for them to refer patients, because they want to keep a track and a log and have a you know, database for all of this. The second is obviously these are hospitals and authorities across the state that need to be lined up and sent in. So we have been engaging very closely with the government and supporting them in whatever information they want, awareness information, etc. I can report that the first patient has been admitted through the PPP portal, which we had handed over to them. As to how this flows and how that information disseminates across all the government officials in the state of Bihar, I'm not sure. What I can tell you is that at the senior most levels in the government, there is a strong enthusiasm to push this. So we are all hopeful that this will scale rapidly so that we can serve this population.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. So just to conclude on this quarter, let me take a minute to say that while we are very happy and pleased with the financial performance of the first quarter of 24, we do continue to focus in on the things that we believe matter, which is looking at a slightly longer term perspective on ensuring that we build out the right capacity in the right manner with the right standard, as well as operate that capacity with the right ethics and the right focus on delivering high quality care. And so while we are pleased with our quarterly performance and continue to focus on driving that on a daily basis, we do look at this slightly more holistically and in the long run. And we hope that all the participants appreciate that this business is slightly different from many other industries. And we continue to ensure that we focus on doing the right thing, practicing the right kind and right quality of medicine, and believe that the results of that will speak for themselves, both in terms of the reputation as well as the financial performance. Thank you very much for listening and for your support.
Thank you very much. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.